The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in its true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Praise God. Let me read to us again from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9, verse 23-24. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shield thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 7 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Anoint the most holy. Intention of God is what is spelled out here. The whole thing is summarized in the vision, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And what dovetails to that is the opening of tablet of what is called the everlasting righteousness. Amen. Israel is a nation that has gone through God's training, God's tutelage. They are God's people. And you know that God is a righteous God. I remember, I've not been able to listen to the messages that were preached when I was around there, but I know that you could have been going around this subject of righteousness. And the prayer was also raised tonight, I just felt that, okay, we're all together in this business. Amen. Praise God. God is the God of righteousness. That is his person. That is his nature. God is righteousness. Everything he does is from that position. God has a standing. God has a position. God has a perception. And from there, he does all that he will do. God does not look at man to do what he's doing. He looks at his own position. All he does is to seek man to come to his position. If you can find God's position and come in there, then you are righteous. If you are not coming there, you are declared unrighteous. So it is where God is, because himself is righteousness. Praise God. So you discover that in every way as dealt with man is from that position. He takes a position and he asks man to follow suit that position. If you take the position, oh wow, you are right. If you don't take it, you are wrong. Doesn't matter how many people are there. If the whole world is there, if it's away from it, they are wrong. If only one person takes it, it's right. Praise God. So it's not based on majority. It's not based on acceptability. It's based on divine thought, divine positioning. And one clear righteousness we have seen, before Esther came, you see people like, he raised the prayer about this man called Noah. Papa said, Noah is the preacher of righteousness. So I want to ask you, what did Noah preach? Amen. Praise God. He's called a preacher of righteousness. So I want to ask yourself, did he preach Jesus Christ? Did he preach Moses? He was before Moses. You understand what I'm saying? He preached righteousness. So it just means that he preached from God's standpoint. There's a place God was at that time. That was what God was emphasizing. And as long as he stays there, he's righteous. If he says what God is saying, he's righteous. And through his preaching, you know, he brought the flood. So if you're going to preach what Noah preached now, it's not written in the Bible what he preached. It's like talking about the testimony of Abel. Abel was, I always talk about his testimony. Abel was like to as much as Jesus. He speaks after he was slain, his blood speaketh. Speaketh. Because the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than what? Blood of Abel. So, blood. So what was his blood speaking? And he has this testimony that he pleased God. That is all he was speaking. He was speaking that he pleased God. How can the blood be saying he pleased God? There's a message in that testimony. Is that not right? Praise God. It was not just going and saying, he pleased God. He pleased God. He pleased God. No. He was saying some other things there, but the sum total of that saying is that he pleased God. Is that not true? Praise God. The Lord said to the prophet, he said, cry. He said, what should I cry? Cry that the all flesh is grass. And the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withered, the flower falls. So is the glory of man. And that's the cry. So the prophet is going to go about crying, but he's not going to be crying. All flesh is grass. That's all he's crying. Is that right? Amen. When we were younger, we had people that were preaching the kingdom of God. Hey, Ipada! Ijoba orokusi dede. They will jingle their bell again. Hey, Ipada! Ijoba orokusi dede. They will jingle their bell again. Hey, Ipada! Now, it didn't mean any sense to us. Because they were not doing what the Lord just said. And Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was not just saying that everywhere. It was a message that is summarized as, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is what? Is at hand. You understand? So sometimes a very massive old thought is just put in one line in the Bible. That if they are going to bring in the thoughts in that one line, the whole book in your library will not be enough to write it. And they spoke about Jesus Christ. They said, all that Jesus Christ did after he rose from the dead. If the book of this word is written, it's not enough to contain it. I only wonder what kind of thing is that one. Not just the actions he did, but the thoughts inside the actions. You understand the thing? So if it's been unveiled and it's been written, you write it and won't be able to end it writing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you discover that is God's nature. Righteousness is God's nature. God is the God of righteousness. With him, there's no injustice. It is righteousness that does not allow him to go into injustice. It's that nature. So, in the end of time, God is talking about the fact that there will be coming what is called everlasting righteousness. So, there has been righteousness which is not really everlasting. Is that not true? If he said to bring in everlasting righteousness. So, there has been righteousness which is not really everlasting. Well, he told this story about the law as everlasting. But I'm sure that this righteousness there, when it says everlasting, it's not really emphasizing what he said to Israel before. It's talking about a new righteousness, which he has signaled through the prophets, which all they could know at that time is to call it everlasting. Only a few times you find them being able to call things the way they are exactly. Because the language or the lingua was not yet really unveiled. Is that what I'm saying? You don't really find the Old Testament talking about eternal. The word eternal in the Bible in the Old Testament is going to be mentioned just a few times. Is that not? But the whole of the New Testament is dotted with eternal life, eternal spirit, eternal grace, eternal God. God is the age of the unveiling of the eternal. In the scripture, as close to us as John 3:16. What did he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have what? Is he called it everlasting? But it's eternal. Because everlasting life is not really exact as it's eternal. Amen. Because the eternal God is a refuge. And underneath that, the everlasting harm. So we know clearly that in other scripture that there's the realm of the eternal and there's the realm of the everlasting. All of these things are not fully clear to each prophet or each writer. They wrote as the Lord revealed to them, but also their mind is involved. And it's not like other books that will say it came down from heaven. It's the same way that God brought it down. In fact, nothing ever touched it. It's a lie. Right. Praise God. We can feel the mind of Paul in his writing. And in his mind, you can see that it's not like Peter. Though the content is the same, but you can feel their mind involved. Okay? The men, is the men of God, they speak. Okay? They speak. So, it is the man. It's not God. It's man. I went in the house list. Praise God. But what I wrote, we can dot through it here and there and find out the exact thoughts of God. The way it is in the spirit. So, sometimes you hear the word everlasting. It's like talking about eternal. Amen. So, I like the holy man of God. Holy man. The amen. Praise God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So it means the thoughts are spirit thoughts, exactly. But it was man that spoke it. It was man. So you could find it, you know, the level of their, sometimes they were fully overtaken, and they don't even know what they are talking about themselves. And sometimes their mind is peeping out there. When you compare scriptures with scriptures, you get the exactness of the mind. You know what I'm saying? At the time I was explaining that even if a chapter of the Bible is removed, it does not remove the accuracy of scriptures. Now, people say, what of the book of Thomas? I said, what do you want to do with the book of Thomas? The book of John you have not finished it. The book of young people. The book of James you have not finished it. The book of Matthew you have not finished it. And there's nothing you're going to have in the book of Thomas. If it's not appearing in the other books, it's not acceptable. No book has independent existence. So even if we remove one chapter of the Bible from it, it does not remove the completeness of the thought of God. The completeness of the thought of God. It does not remove it. So today we're going to be looking more into this righteousness. And I like the way you began to talk about the fact in Romans 14:17. So the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you don't know righteousness, you can't know God. If you don't have good grasp, not only good grasp, mastery to a point where you fall in love with righteousness, you can't affirm that you know God. I believe strongly that that's why God is bringing us to this point. You know, we began to look at faith and we said, what makes faith actually is righteousness and judgment. Is that not true? You say, yeah, well, I'm learning faith. What you are learning is righteousness and judgment. That's what is inside of it. Because our faith you are learning is not just to believe God for something. It's the faith to know God. You can believe God for some things and not know God. That you know that God can do all things does not mean you know God. Amen. You have just come in to accept one attribute of God. See, I know my God. Anything I ask Him for, He does it. So Paul says, if you have faith to move mountain, can you see that? And you have not charity, it does not profit me. It does not make me, or it does not edify me. Can you see that? So that you have faith to get one action done does not mean you know God. To know God is another thing entirely. So knowing God is not the exercise of gifts. As righteousness is not just a gift, it's a nature. It's a nature. So without righteousness, you can't make progress in the school of faith. Because faith is the revelation of righteousness. What do I call it, please? For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So what you are seeing inside faith is righteousness. It's righteousness. And when you come to righteousness and you master righteousness, and you find the righteousness, you will move to judgment. You will begin to acquire high judgment. The two of them, both righteousness and judgment, develops together. But righteousness is the pivot that determines your judgment. The more righteousness you acquire, the more judgment you acquire. Amen? But the substance of judgment is righteousness. When I say judgment, it means the weight or standard. When you look at the legal balance, you know that justice balance, is a symbol of those who are in the legal profession. You will see that they put weight on each part to express justice. Is that not? You see weight. Weight. That weight there is knowledge, substances, or righteousness that determines the weight or the balance. So when it is weighed out, it's called judgment. Amen. Praise God. God, you can be with this Bible and read it, and all you'll be seeing there is grammar. And you close it in the name of Jesus. And you have not acquired any substance. Especially the epistles. And the best is that you're going to just take a verse of scriptures that seems to do something to your psyche. Like, I'm born of God. I'll overcome the world. What you are saying, you don't know it. You are only declaring the substance of that scripture is not with you. But there's need for knowledge to assess it. So what we do by quoting Bible does not still bring to us the substance there. Are we in the house together, please? So the epistle is not just scriptures for confession. They are letters that unveil the person of Christ or the person of you in Christ. The transaction, what is a transaction? What Paul will call fellowship. Or what he's going to call it fellowship, he call it dispensation. Or economy, or a management system, or administrational system that goes on in a man who is in Christ. No eye can see that transaction. It's a spiritual transaction. Amen. So to make men see it, man can see what is going on with a man in Christ. Man can see what is going on when Christ is coming to a man. Man can see it. He can see how a man is acquiring Christ. A man can see riches of Christ. I went to the house this. A man can see it. It's invisible. It's invisible to an average mind. There's no way for an unbeliever to assess it. That you are a believer does not mean you will assess that. So you must know from the realm of confession or scriptures, declaring your position into the administration of receiving and giving. When you are in Christ, you are receiving and you are giving. Praise God. So you can see, check all of the places where you see dispensation. Or when you see Paul use dispensation. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all. Dispensation is the economy of grace given me to you, Lord. And that place is said that we may make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which I wrote aforetime to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So it's talking about fellowship is still the same thing as dispensation or economy or transaction or you can say giving and receiving that goes on. Are we in the house together, please? That is the real Christianity. The other Christianity we know, anybody can live it. If I can be in church in 1 week and have great faith for great things to happen. Have you ever seen unbelievers before? That you are saying this thing, God can do it. He's not in church. Just from the instinct and the things together, he just has faith. Say, God will do it. God will do it. He doesn't know God, but he just knows that God can do it. You can even say, you are a Christian. Believe God now. You'll be ashamed that he's the one telling you to believe God. That's the faith of man. Thank you. Praise God. It does not mean he knows God. That's why if your hope is just on that, you are a miserable man. If all your transactions just reside in that, and that's the end of it, you lost so much on earth. I just feel in my heart that we should go through it a little bit at this time so we can have our feet well established in this subject. Praise God. In the book of Isaiah, let me read from Isaiah. God kept on preparing Israel for that which is coming. Praise God. Let me read from Isaiah 51. Hearken unto me, to me ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and will comfort all our waste places. And he will make our wilderness like Eden, and our desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Verse 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation is what? Gone forth. And my arm shall judge the people, and the idols shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall what? Shall not be abolished. Let's read together verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people on whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their rebellion. Now, with all that God promised, what is the hope? God has told them, he will make a wilderness like Eden, a desert like the garden of the Lord. There will be joy and gladness. What is the hope of all of that? The hope of all of that. It's righteousness. The hope of all of restoration that God was saying is righteousness. My righteousness, for the moth shall eat them like a garment, verse 8, and the worm shall eat them like wood, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation. So if I'm going to save, I'm going to bring forth my righteousness. Without my righteousness, there's no salvation. So if you experience salvation, then you're just going to be, you're just going to come into discovering my righteousness. I will save now. It's dependent on my righteousness. Praise God. My righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So, you can see why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. He didn't say and righteousness, and his righteousness. Each time I declare my kingdom, it comes with his. So when he was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was telling them, get your mind ready to shift into a new arrangement. Repent is from metanoia, means that change of mind. The way you are going to transact this one is not the way it was before. Amen. And if there's anything that actually rumbles the mind of man and religion, is the revelation of God's righteousness. When he declares his righteousness, he changes his position. And the God you have known over many years with a position, just change position. He has not changed. He has only changed position. I am the Lord, I change it not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see that when the prophet began to prophesy later on, I'm going to speak to Israel, They were not speaking just exactly on the emphasis of Moses. What that God gave to Israel was the law of Moses. Is that not true? Praise God. And God expected them to keep that law. But that law was to move, was supposed to move them. As they move in the law, they are supposed to move into a new position that God was taking. While the law was still going on, God had seen the end of the law and was already taking a new position. Only a few people like David knew that God is taking a position. Because David was seeking God, was going after God. So it was not in the past tense of God. It was in the present tense of God. God, in the present tense, God explained what he has been saying. And it looks brighter. That is the RIP of religion. What God is saying. And you know say, what God said. Ah, God appeared to Nancy sister and said so, so and so. But they don't know what God is saying. It's difficult to get God and say you understand God's righteousness. It's difficult, very difficult. In fact, you will say God betrayed you and God failed you. Because how God will support what is seemingly as opposed before. And you will see him backing it up. In praise the name of the Lord. All the prophets were used to pronounce the coming of God's righteousness. God unveiling his new position. But they didn't know it themselves. They were in the law. They were trapped in the law. They were declaring something else. And the way God was showing to them, it didn't appear as if God was consistent with what he was saying. So when Jeremiah was disappointed, I told God, I'm not going to speak any word in your name anymore. I won't speak any word. I tell you, I won't speak any word. Until I was trying to constrain that, and his word was like tying my bone. I was trying to manage it. I couldn't manage it. I wouldn't house this. So by his own mind, the fact God is no more consistent. What he's saying is not looking at what he's doing. And that's the problem that Israel had. Praise God. I was teaching them something about the revelation of the person of God. The I am God. Or the word that I am. The unveiling of the I am. The I am that I am. Or that I am. That I am is not this I am. It's that I am. And that I am. So it means that as you make progress towards him, you keep seeing things differently. So for ministers, oh, maybe you begin a church at 20 years, for example. If you don't understand the way God moves, we establish a righteousness at that point for people who follow you. As you make progress towards God in 20 years, what you have seen has changed. And because you have told them of God's holiness, you can't move them. They are stuck there, but the man is moving. So, and when you meet the man, he's the only one that has life in the old place. The others are dead. Why? They are locked up in that which was ill. That's the meaning of what you say. Revelation is progressive. It means that you know God gradually. What are you knowing? It's righteousness. And once you know it's righteousness, your judgment is altered. So it's not a change of standard. It's revelation of God's person. The eternal God. The eternal God. So, one thing that is a must, which the prophet were declaring over time, especially Isaiah, was that God's righteousness is about being made known. Now, what were they doing before? He's declaring the present righteousness. By David, for many years, through the law, what was God's acceptable way of cleansing and forgiveness? You shed blood. You make your offerings. Is that not? You have the sin offering, the bond offering, the peace offering, all manner of offering. What are they meant for? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Until God showed up and said, if I want animals to eat, I won't come to you. The cattle upon 10,000 is are mine. If I want them, I'll just kill many of them and eat. Give to yourself that offering. I don't want them anymore. I want a broken heart. I want a contrite spirit. That's what is God's sacrifice. And anybody knew that sacrifice to start with. All they knew that sacrifice is that animals should be offered. So they didn't know that that righteousness at that time is just for a moment. Until time will come to unveil a higher righteousness. That is a preference that God prefers a broken heart. contrite spirit than the animals they were offering. So before God declared that through Isaiah, David has come into it. Saying, burnt offering and in sacrifices, thou wouldest not. Thou wouldest not. How did he know? Who told him? By following, thank you, by following God. Not by worshiping God of his father. By following the God of his father. That's why he told Solomon, Solomon, know the God of your father. We can be this way today, and you feel, wow, I like the way they're treating. And think that this is God. What we do is not God. You know that? It's what God allows for this time. If you think by this you know God, you will go and duplicate this kind of thing, you will be dead. It will be dead. We had that in those days in the Holy Ghost Center because we had powerful meetings. And the many people come to church there, even when we say Holy Ghost Center, they think the meeting is the Holy Ghost Center. And for many times that we had problems there, they were crying for that thing, which they think is God. But that's just God, a moment of God's display on the earth here. There's still much more in God. Much more in God. Sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire. That's not your desire. My ears, you have opened. You prefer faith. When I say you have opened my ears, I say you have preferred faith. Faith is better than offerings. Hallelujah. This place is a terrible place that we must stay until we feel the breath of understanding. And yeah. The dynamics of the spirit will be strained to you. In 10 years, you will not like what is going on. Because, yeah, your present state, God is not going to stay there forever. He's not going to stay there forever. And actually, that really surprises our parents. You know, as people that came and said, I like this church. If only I just love. That if only is your undoing. That if only is in your past. I like your message. I like the way you preach. I like. But if only. That your if only is that you want the packaging of the whole order. So if you get that, you have not moved because you have received by your own righteousness. Is that not true? Each time God wants to give you something, he tells you move. You will lose something. You will lose your name. You will lose your pride. You will lose many things. If the new ground is converted for you, it's not God. It means it's not of faith. What did I say? If the new ground God is declaring is converted for you, it's not God. It will always need faith to establish you there. But we have to preach it to you, and you understand, until then, your heart will receive strength. Now, this is a new place that God is speaking. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, for the Old Testament, it's based on what is called righteousness of the law. Righteousness of the law, which is on the basis of practicing the law of Moses. There has been righteousness before the law came. We're not going to go into that, is that right? What the Bible majorly placed before us, majorly is the righteousness of the law and the righteousness which is by faith. Okay? Amen. I was saying that even the righteousness of the law, it was not fixed. Are you with me, please? What I say? It was not fixed. The divine thought and knowledge was still breaking out there to show forth its acceptance. For example, David has no right to eat the shewbread. I think you know that. By the law, the shewbread belongs to priests. And it's called aloe bread. It means that it's a separate bread. It's a holy bread. No mere man should partake in that holy bread. If he does that, he's to die. That was what God gave to them. But that is not God's person. That's not who God is. In God's knowledge, every human being actually is a priest. It was sin that destroyed the priesthood. There are consecrations that can allow a man to partake if it's by faith. It is the Lord he met. Are we in the house, please? Which he didn't put inside the law. If you read the old law, you won't see there. But God is bigger than the law. The law is just a little bit of thought that God hewn, cast out for them to school them and prepare their feet to receive faith. Amen. In their mind, all about God is within the law. They didn't know that it was the 10th commandment that God gave to Moses. Moses is the one who interpreted it into that large book. 613 precepts. It was Moses. Why? Because they couldn't come into faith. So God gave Moses charge over them. So it became law of Moses. Are we in the house, please? How can the law of God become a law of Moses? And it was written in the old Bible, law of Moses. Law of Moses in the Bible. Because Moses became the custodian of that dispensation. It's the servant over that house. And whatever he says over that house is what God accepts. I went there, please. It's the oracle, it's the priest over the house, it's the prophet over the house. His sins are abiding. God has already accepted Moses. He's a servant over the house. And he's a faithful servant. He has passed out the measure of faithfulness. So whatever he interprets, God allow it. So Jesus understood that when he came into place and said, Moses said that. But I say, who are you? Moses say, you say, who are you? And then Moses was speaking from a place. Jesus is speaking from another place entirely. I say. Well, Moses is a servant over the house. He is the son of his own house. Whose house are we? Is that all right? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them were functioning by what? By righteousness. By righteousness. And whatever they do, we're binding righteousness. God was backing it up. Imagine those who stood up against Moses. Are you the only one who can speak of God? Okay. Bring all of them to the tabernacle. Bring all of them. How do I speak to you? Dreams. Yeah, dreams. All of you. But not like my servant Moses. Not like my servant. So in the face of my servant, you don't appear there. Miriam don't appear there. Aaron doesn't appear there. All that I want to do is to zoom on that Moses. It's when we open Moses that we'll see you. But by offices of display, as it were, it looks as if they are people of importance. But in the book of righteousness, they are not relevant. It's because Moses exists that the way they are existing. If there's no Moses, they won't find them. Praise God. Amen. That book means understanding. Always look as if God is unjust. Guys who rattles on social media, just look at them. Rattle from one verse of Bible. Rattle. God is not your village head. He's not your playmate. He's not your village head. He's not your counselor. Praise God. God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to say that even in the law of Moses, which is the righteousness, God was not fixed there. It's supposed to be fixed because of Moses. But his eternal nature cannot be hid. Each time he sends anybody that pleases him, his nature will pump out for acceptance. And we quickly endorse it and go back. It's Moses who is managing it, but this one, he did it well. It's well. He stamped it and stay back. And all of that was like confusion for Israel. Why is God approving this now? Why is he approving this? If you are there, it can be tiresome. It can be wisdom. When you give your life to say, this is the mode. We have found the mode. This is where it should be. Hey, praise God. Yeah, yeah, let's die here. And you give up your life for it. And tomorrow you just move out of it. It's wisdom. And those who are in the present are just in human praise. Any human praise, any human allegiance, going to lose everything. Because sometimes it may just take you a little to be able to move. Praise God. So I'm just trying to let us know that we're going to be looking more into that too. Righteousness, which is of the law, and which is of faith. And the most fixed one is of the law. For even there, it was not fully fixed. God's standard was cement changing. Hallelujah. Let's go back to where we're reading. We read Isaiah. Is that not true? Let's go back to Isaiah 51. And amazingly, we had a conference this year. We call it establishment. And we're saying it, in righteousness shall thou be established. So it's clear that this year God wants to get us rooted in righteousness. For in righteousness shall thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For it will not come nigh thee. It will be far from thee. You will be immune to oppression. Hallelujah. So you will see there that God said in verse 5, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. In verse 6, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So he's talking about an abiding righteousness that will not change. The next righteousness, God was affirming that it will not change. God, he doesn't affirm that. The heart of men got a weary. You are changing this one now. I wish I won't change the next one again. He said this is going to be abolished. And he said to Daniel, it's going to be an everlasting righteousness. It's not going to go away. It's going to be an eternal standard that will be established. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Now the first thing that in every generation where righteousness is revealed, there must come an attitude of knowing that nobody sees it except it is sought. All I'm saying now, I'm saying to you, but it's not mean you find it by saying to you. You're just going to take a deliberate journey of finding out. As like Christ used that word, seek ye first. It is the ask. You don't get to know righteousness by asking. There are things you can ask from God. You can ask for the Holy Ghost. I think you know that. You ask for the Holy Spirit, and your Father who is in heaven will not withhold his hand from giving you the Holy Ghost. If your Father, any Father who is evil, will not withhold from you bread and fish, your Father in heaven will not withhold from you anyone who asks him. That asks him. So, those things you ask for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. All of those things is a righteousness revealed. Because some people, they have to wait for the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was going away, he said, wait ye for the Spirit. And he said, ask ye for the Holy Ghost. He said, wait. Is that what he said? Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So, from the generation you have there, the way to receive the Holy Ghost becomes starry. Huh? But in God's righteousness, it meant that you're not going to tarry to receive, to ask for the Holy Ghost. You tarry for power. You ask for the Holy Ghost. Because you receive the Holy Ghost, you have the power. There are two different things. You tarry for power. You ask for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I went in the house today. What did I say? So, those who received the Holy Ghost at that time, because they tarried, felt that you need to always tarry to receive the Holy Ghost. Paul came in and said, that's not true. In other Ephesus, I saw guys who were there, who were believers. And he was wondering, you a believer? What do you believe? They said, in John baptism. No. Jesus has already come. And through Jesus, can receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, how do we do that? He prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I went in the house this. So, you see, changing time, changing to unveil the true scheme. When I say righteousness, it's the true scheme of what is right in God. What I say is the scheme of what is, how it is in God. What is in God's heart about it? It transcends actions of God. You can't know it by studying God's action. What God did at that time? No. I said it is made known. I said God explained to you what he's doing. You can't get it by just studying what he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? When they were with him, 12 of them were with him, they were going in and out, and as they were seeing what they were doing, they were asking questions. Because you can't think you see just by observing. I went in the houseless. Until it is explained, you can have understanding. Praise God. So, you can't go into righteousness by asking for righteousness. You seek. Seek it first, the kingdom. And you seek its righteousness. So, the generation that will find God's righteousness must know how to seek. When you want to seek, you tie your life to seeking. Because seeking is going to waste your life. Just give an example on a woman who lost his coin. You know, how coin, how, you know, he tie a woman that just have concern for money. Amen. Praise God. When a woman put money in his bag and their bag always have compartments. Amen. And he opened where he just the thing is and it's not there. He opened the next one, it's not there. He will turn it back. No, have you not done that before? If you have not done that before, mother has done it before. Mama? You will turn it down. What is he doing? He's looking for it. Jesus gave an example of a woman who lost a coin and he said, we sweep the whole house. You go and take broom. Not because the house is dirty. He doesn't like the house to be dead, but in this matter. And we stay on our bed. Put the broom there. Maybe we ain't some. No, my woman, I know when you are doing that, you want to cook soup for your husband. Is that not true? So I like you for that, okay? You will ensure the money is available in the house by all means. Praise God. Amen. A woman is having 10 pieces of silver. And she only lost one. What? You just feel that you just think that 9 is okay for me. If he's a man, he just said 9. 9 is okay. Let's go. Sweetheart. We should not go back for now. Let's spend it. Okay, just a minute. Sweetheart, will just go out. Wait for 10 minutes. I said, let's go! A minute! So, woman, they can teach her how to seek, okay? So, now transfer that. Just move that attitude to seeking the kingdom and its righteousness. I have told you before, anytime you read the Bible, the first thing you see there is not the true meaning. It's never the true meaning. The trial there is Eid. And it's Eid for those who can seek. Those who can waste their time. Anytime I read a verse of scriptures, I know that's the only meaning. Over again. I leave it, I go, I come back there. Over again. They must know that you have a seeking attitude. Or else you will go and hewn a form of righteousness. You will hewn a form of righteousness. And you know that when you hewn something, it's not easy to discard it. But when you spend your time to hewn, you stay with it. And that's the problem of Israel. They spend time to heal righteousness for themselves. They heal it. Wow. So they went about establishing what they heal. Even if someone said, look at that scripture. Look at what he's saying there. Look at that. He's not interested. He has seen something. But you understand that if it's not what God is saying now, it's dead. It's going to have life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, people say there are two kinds of righteousness. They say there's a right standing, right doing. But you'll see as one. Okay, amen. Praise God. It means you believe God, you are in the right standing. Okay. And you leave it, you are right doing. But I just see that it's just one righteousness. Praise God. The first position is to believe what God is saying. Is that not? And the next is to keep believing. You don't do anything. You keep believing. Your doing is that you are believing more. So what shall we do that we may do the works of God? So don't do any work. Believe, just believe. So I don't see it as really two. Because when it's two, then you can have one. And when you have one, you don't have the other one. No, if you have right standing with God, and don't keep in it, you lose it. You lose it. It's the same cord. From where you began with, you keep on going. What's Israel's problem? They began with God. They didn't continue and they lost it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so, you must know that God has His righteousness. And when God proclaims His righteousness, you must believe it. But you can't assess it until you seek it. You have to seek it. You have to believe it and begin to seek it. You seek it. You must seek it to know it. You can't know it if you don't seek it. That's why you see Paul emphasizing the reason to follow after righteousness. Now, let's try and separate this, the law and faith, so we can just stay in one today. Praise God. Romans 4. Let's have one pray. Amen. Verse 9. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved before both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. What's the basis of that declaration? There is none righteous. No, not one. But Israel were in a previous righteousness. Is that not true? So why would he say there is none righteous? Because the righteousness they were brought into was supposed to be understood. Is that right? It is the understanding of the righteousness and practice of the understanding that makes them righteous. Is that not true? They have it, but they didn't practice it. They had conflict in that law. They couldn't complete it. Because that righteousness is based on practicing that law. But that law is the righteousness. I went to the house this. The righteousness of the law, which is by doing. They do the law. And by doing the law, they practice its righteousness. And in practicing that righteousness, they become righteous. So there's no righteous. They didn't complete it. So they didn't get a certificate. They began a school, they dropped out. Because if they had completed that school, they would have come to a measure of understanding to have enough faith to believe Jesus. So the fact that they didn't believe Jesus is a sign that they didn't complete that school. Are we right? God had to raise a John to go and prepare the way. That was not part of the law. That was like an intervention. By the law itself, they should have ended up in Christ. They wouldn't need John the Baptist. A old John was sent just for introduction. So by that, there is none righteous. See verse 11. There is none that understandeth. Now the problem there. So when people say, don't confuse me, I know what I know. You don't want to understand? You will die in your righteousness. Not confuse me. No. It's not done like that. If you say Jesus is not born of God, I won't crucify you. I'll say, tell me, let me hear about it. Miss the revelation. And from there, I know what you don't understand. Some of us, anything that go against what you think we know, you can't stand it. No. Amen. There are many fools who say in their head there's no God. Nah, he has not killed them. In their heart, you know, all these ones going to joy. In their heart, they didn't even say it in their mouth. In their heart. And God did not kill them. Our God is not like their God, okay? Who will ask you 24 hours? You deny our faith, you turn back, or we hear you. That's an idol. You have to threaten him to believe. Amen. Praise God. Our God is long suffering. Our God is slow to anger. Plenteous in what? Full of compassion. And he does not shy quickly. Oh, when you're wrong, he hold on to quick. No, he doesn't want to judge you quickly. And because of his nature, the healing world fills it with God. Yes, that's why in Nigeria will be the first step of his experiment. Amen. In our generation, that is a God of heaven. It's not idol. It doesn't even just walk only by sword. When he wants to draw a sword, he will draw his own sword. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Anyone Gideon touches, the Lord who is against you. Hallelujah. So if he's going to fight them with AK-47 in these days, we will know. We don't know how he's going to handle their matter. He can walk away on them and they walk, they all perish. No. Amen. So don't quickly judge him and say, that's this way, he's going to come. Amen. It's not every AK-47 that is going to be away from God. You don't like that. I know you. You are a heavenly being. Amen. You don't want to kill anybody. But your God kill it and make it alive. But he's slow to anger. You press him, he can bear you. He can win you with bearing. But if he taps his feet against you, you are in trouble. The church in Nigeria will not. God is a warrior, but we don't want God who shoots guns. Or so he says the warrior. You want the God, you go to sleep, just go and sleep and he will kill your enemies. That's not the way he does it every time, okay? Amen. When all he does, his mercy will endure forever, is that not? He keeps it on. For his mercy what? He slay Og. It's what? Praise God. May we know this God. You see, don't use one letter of the Bible to bottle God. One of the ways God fought that amazes me is the way he raised this guy, Jephthah, the son of Harlot. And he wrote victory for himself. So when God wants to use a holy man of God, in his holiness, he can see God in that manner. He'll go and use another vessel. Praise God. You see, his righteousness that is enduring. He's showing forth his righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, both Rabbi Chani, Hamakika, Lihila, Latani, Babelet, and the policy by that action. For yet I make kingdoms obsolete by righteousness. I make nations obsolete by righteousness. I make people outdated by righteousness. I renew myself in righteousness. I renew myself in righteousness. And they that put their trust in me are made fresh by righteousness. For when you follow righteousness, you are renewed. Your strength is renewed like that of the eagle. What will you demand is righteousness. What makes a man a mystery is righteousness. For righteousness is indeed a mystery. Righteousness is indeed a mystery. Yea, for in this day I will begin to unfold righteousness. I will begin to show my church righteousness. I will begin to teach my people righteousness. For they have known the righteousness. They have walked in the righteousness, even with the hidden things that they know me for. They have walked in the righteousness, which the hidden have taken to be God. For if you say, I will unveil righteousness, I will unveil righteousness. I will show my church that I have taken strides forward. I will show my church that I have taken steps forward. And I will bring my church to where I am. For where I am becomes the confusion of your adversary. Where I am becomes the discomfiting of your adversary. When you come to where I am, you become more mysterious. When you come to where I am, you become a being that cannot be understood. When you come to where I am, then you have your victory. I will begin to unveil my righteousness. For indeed I have taken strides. I have taken strides. In your nature, I have taken strides. I have taken strides in righteousness. I have taken strides away from what your fathers have taught you. I have taken strides away from what your teachers have shown you. I have taken strides away from what you have been made to believe as God. I have taken strides away. In this day, I will bring you to where I am. Bring you to where I am. You will find fresh energy. You will find fresh relief. You will find fresh life. You will find energy of the Spirit. You will find strength of the Holy Ghost. You will find strength, in that day to execute judgment upon the wicked, to execute judgment and justice over the nation. For where I am is where there's righteousness. Where I am is where judgment proceeds from. Where I am is where justice can come from. That is true justice. I am bringing you to where I am. I am bringing the church in Nigeria to where I am. Yea, watch and see. Wait and see. Wait and see. Wait and see. For there is a proclamation of the Spirit that is gone forth over the nation. There is a proclamation. There is a strong voice that is crying over the nation. It is time to shake yourselves up. It is time to rouse yourself. It is time to gather your bed and make migration. Because the Lord which you seek has moved. The Lord which you seek is moving. The Lord which you seek has moved. He called you. Awake yourself. Rouse yourself. Shake up yourself. It is time to pick up your bed and go with him. Go with him. Follow the voice that you hear. Follow the voice that you hear. For they that have faith will find life.
Hallelujah. Have faith. Let the things you are hearing, let them be with faith in your hearts. Thank you. There is none that understand it. The warning, there is none that know, because you can only come to knowledge through understanding. There is none that seeketh after God. So what happened to them after? They are all gone out of the way. When we cannot assess understanding, what happens? That we lose the way. We lose the way. We step out of the way. I know Jesus Christ came as a priest for those two people. Those who are out of the way, and those who are ignorant, and those who are out of the way, compassion on them. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, or doeth God, or practice God, or righteousness. No, not one. See what happened to them, because they couldn't connect that. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue, they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips. That's not what they bargained for. You can become an enemy of God if you cannot connect to God's righteousness. But actually, what happens is that once you are a people of righteousness and cannot connect to what God is saying, you become an enemy. You will fight what God is doing. So, serious people He's describing the children of Israel who felt they have advantage over the Gentiles. He's describing them. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That was why they have enough energy to kill Jesus. And the way of peace have they not known. You know the effect of righteousness is peace. Okay, so if you cannot stay in righteousness, you cannot find peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the Lord said, He said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, by the deeds of practice of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. They got to be aware of sin, but they didn't have power over sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So it means that when you are coming to this righteousness now, you have no carryover. Amen. That's why I was asking them, repent. Because it's not going to give you an advantage. What you needed in this door is understanding. And you must pay the price of understanding to access it. Amen. So each time God is showing himself more, it is those who knew God before that have more problem. Well, it's not easy. You know, just look at it. You'll be in a church, you'll be spent 20 years in faith. And God says to you, move in there. It's not easy to empty or to count all you ever knew as dung. It's not easy. Most of the time, you will come in with what you had before, right? And what you had before will be the undoing of what you are going to have. I learned many years ago that if you do jump and you have certain scores in jump, that for you to get better, you will count that you have never done a jump before. Each time you try to update your learning for the next jump, you will drop. I've done all the jams you should do for you. No, I've done it on your behalf. So my children must not do it more than once or twice. If you fail jam twice, now you'll be crying. You'll be crying as if the word has fallen upon your head. I did jam four times. Amen. We jam ourselves very well, okay? I now see why these children of this day don't have absorber. And it's funny, they are crying. It's, what's making you cry? What's wrong with you? Their children will have a decade, they'll be crying. You won't know who is sick among the child or the mother. Amen. So it's not easy to count all things wrong. Like Paul did. He wants to get excellent mark. He wanted to get excellent mark. I know it was the Spirit that told him, Paul, you don't know me. And he says, yes, sir. I don't know you. So let's start from ABC. Let's start from what? So he learned how to form new letter in the new righteousness. He didn't use the letter of the old into the new. They don't know me. They don't know how many years I've been this faith. That thing is against this. It's against it. They will shut the door. Say, open to me, open to him, the gate of righteousness. This is the gate that the righteous nation must enter. They have to open the door of righteousness. Because it's a must that the righteous nation must enter. That keepeth also means that seeketh truth. Praise God. Knowing God is. When I say being born again, that's been okay. That was being born again. I've told you it's not just a New Testament language. It means you change your basic element of knowledge. As if you are coming to school afresh. Say, so, will I have to enter the mother's womb to be born? And that in your understanding, in your spirit, in your understanding, you are turning to zero knowledge. Are we in the house, please? So that the one that will now bring knowledge from that later on, if they like. By revelation, they will bring, they will archive knowledge from the old. So become a man that is instructed in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You're going to learn Holy Ghost afresh. Each time God declares new restaurant, you will learn everything afresh. You will learn new bath afresh. Everything afresh. Mama is my mother and she's my teacher for many years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Huh? But you see how many times she's writing? Huh? Because he's a kingdom person who is being instructed afresh. When she brings the mystery, when you hold the mystery, she will drink both old and new. She becomes a word of wisdom, a word of riches. But that initial schooling is compulsory. Pastor Man came to the church some time ago. For around 1-2 years, she writes from beginning of service to the end of service. It's not many people who are of that age that will do that. They will come and say, what is he talking about now? Yes. When it's time to deliver, you will rumble together. They won't know what you are saying. Why? Door is not open to you. They must open door to us when it is time for new understanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we are in Romans chapter. Let's go a little bit. The righteousness of God that is by the law. That's what Moses brought. That's what Israel used for hundreds of years. Galatians 3. Galatians verse 9. So then, they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are all the works of the law are what? Under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all, not something, all things which are written where? In the book of the law. To do. So because they couldn't access faith, they connect their righteousness to doing. So they practice the law. And they must practice all things that are written in the law. That's why if faith is referring you to anything in the law, you are not having the gain of that because you are practicing the law. Let me give an example. There's a promise in the Old Testament. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, you have a lot of blessings there. Is that all right? These blessings will do what? Will come upon you and will overtake you. Is that all right? And you like the blessings, huh? Blessed are you when you go out, when you're on the farm. Blessed is your this, blessed is your house, it's your stuff. Blessed is this and that. Now, so you have them listed long like that, so also the course is long. Amen. So if you like the blessing, you must not shy away from the curse. You know, the Old Testament has natural blessing that is attractive. Yeah? And in Nigeria, the natural blessings are a problem. Oh, poverty, you know what I'm saying? Amen. When you hear your store is blessed. Yeah? Hey! Damn it, your store is blessed. Yeah? All man of food, all man of. Oh! When you say that in Africa, wow, what is? Because feeding is one of the problems in Africa. More than 7% of African people live on less than $1 per day. Praise God. But if you want to return back to that blessing block, you want to return there, remember you are going to return to the causes also. Amen. Because you have to do all the law. Do all the law not to get the cause when you break one of them. That is the way the righteousness is programmed. You are not going to program it. Amen. It's not your program, it's God's program, eh? And what do you do in a computer? You buy program, huh? You install program, huh? And you comply with the program, huh? You obey it. If you act contrary, you spoil your system. You can lose your data if you tamper with it. Is that not true? I don't know too much about your computer, but I think I know a little bit of that. Praise God. So that's the way they program it. Now, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken, not hearken, why thou not hearken? Under the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all, to do all. You can see all there again. Huh? Mark your all. Just mark the all. All his commandments. And his statutes which I command you, which I command you this day. That all these curses shall come upon thee and do what? Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I'm blessed. I'm not looking at the blessing of the Old Covenant. I'm not looking at it. I'm blessed. I'm looking at Jesus to say I'm blessed. You don't get it. It's not the same blessing. I'm blessed with life. I'm blessed with peace. I'm blessed with joy. I'm blessed with grace. I'm blessed with provision. I'm not looking at the law. I'm not looking at in Deuteronomy verse, this verse. I don't use that, bro. If I look at too much, I will look at Moses. See what I'm saying now? Because the Moses is a veil over that place. I want to see Jesus and see the fullness of the blessing he has brought. Praise God. The blessing of Abraham is not his blessing. I think you know that. Abraham blessings the man. Abraham blessings the man. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham, blessings are mine. Hallelujah. You're not singing it. I think you don't know it. You know this song. Amen. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham, blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Abraham. But don't look at that place, though. What's the blessing of Abraham? Christ. Christ is the blessing of Abraham. Because it has to be 24/7, so they have to bring under a spiritual climate. You understand what I'm saying? Because the climate is not going to favor you too much. You need a spiritual what? Climate. So he has blessed you. Amen. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Don't look at your store. Say, I am blessed. Look at your back account. Say, I am blessed. It's not your back account that says you are blessed. I am blessed. Because in Christ, he has blessed us. He's not going to bless us. He has blessed us. I don't think about money. I don't think money. I think money in terms of doing. I want to pay a bill, then money. When it comes to God, I don't think money. My God is bigger and higher than money. What's money? So zero account cannot make me think maybe my life is going bad. Life? What do you call life? What? I'm not saying I confess. I'm saying I can't think it. When I feel the devil's attacking, I'm blessed and superior to what he's doing. I am blessed. I am blessed. There's no drop here. There's no lack here. I'm blessed. Because what Jesus brought to us is bigger than what you can think. It's bigger than what you can think. So as many as are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, what? Curse is everyone that continueth. Can you see what I'm saying now? So when you say righteousness, you believe it, you come into it, and you continue therein. You don't separate it. It's one problem. In all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. That's why it's not easy for a man to be justified by the law. It's not easy. You can't do all those things are too plenty. Too plenty. The Moses said does not practice the law. Moses doesn't do the law. Moses doesn't do the law. He doesn't use the tabernacle. Yeah, it's not tabernacle. No wonder I said, don't put any yoke upon these people. The yoke that our fathers carried, they couldn't carry it. One of them said, those who believe they should do the law. Don't put the yoke. Remove this yoke. Not even our fathers could carry them. Even the one who brought them, Moses, didn't do it. Hallelujah. But Jesus himself becomes the righteousness. Why can't Moses give them what he was doing? They didn't have faith. So he left them in their debt. He used his own. He gave them Aaron and all of them. Eh? And I go through that priesthood. Hallelujah. But in this one, that's why the church must not repeat the old time. You know what I'm saying? When the man of God is enjoying his own provision and he put the rest of the church in the law, you know? He's not doing what the church is doing. He's not doing the same thing. But you are 30 years in joy, say you are children. At 30 years, you don't be a child. Must come of age. Amen. Hallelujah. It is evident that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live. The only way to finish that curriculum is by faith. Faith is the design to attain to righteousness. What is attainment? Attainment to finish the course of righteousness. Not just to believe, to finish the course. But there's a course that the righteousness will fulfill. Or to attain to righteousness. Israel did not attain to righteousness. The beginning, they couldn't attend to it. They couldn't finish the course. It is evident that anyone who will attend to righteousness must live by faith. It must be by faith. Amen. You can see why this is a must for us to sit down with, At this time, when we are teaching ministry of faith, we must sit down to understand righteousness. Is it clear to us tonight? Are you blessed tonight? It's when you start seeking that you will know. Because the end result is that you must fall in love with righteousness. When you fall in love with righteousness, then you develop hatred. When you are seeking righteousness, you still have your wickedness kept in you. Because it's only faith that is helping you. You know what I'm saying? It is faith that is helping you. You are learning righteousness. You still have wickedness, but faith is helping you. You know righteousness. You understand righteousness, right? You seek, you know. You seek, you understand. You seek, you know. Along the line, you will fall in love. As I say, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. The only place where hatred is developing for wickedness is when you fall in love with righteousness. You become a lamb that follows God. And this thing, when you just say, whatever my brother is saying, it's what I speak. It doesn't mean because his life has been slain, he has fallen in love. Thou hast fall in love with righteousness. You have hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the all of gladness above thy. Your fellows did not fall in love with righteousness. You are leading them. They come after you, and through you, they will fall in love. Amen. So Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we appreciate you for mercies. Can we appreciate the Lord for tonight and bless him for the few things he has opened to us tonight, just few things in our learning of faith. He's opening us in the territories of the land and breadth of truth. This evening we open up our heart to him to say, Lord, we want to know you. We want to walk with you in the light of your present truth. We open our hearts to you tonight, Jesus, the righteous one, the Son of God. We want to take our place in the present truth. We want to be established. We want to be established in the dynamics, not in the form. Not in the form of godliness. Not just in the form. Not in just the outward show. But in the inward revelation, the inward mobility of the soul. In the inward mobility that can enable the soul to make progress. That dynamic nature of a person that can make the soul to move with you in every season, to move with you in every movement, every motions, every time that you have set, every season you have set for us, every season you have set for restitution, every season you have set to show yourself, that we can have energy to sight you, to locate you, to see you, to go with you, to walk with you, to walk with you, to see you, to understand you. Yes, that's what we are called to do. That's our calling. That's our calling. Our calling is to know you. We are called to sight you. We are called to know you. We are called to walk with you. We are called to maintain your stand on the earth. We are called to be with you on the earth. We are called to make a position with you on the earth. We are called, oh God, as a workman on the earth, through whom your will is to be done. Klabashke penime rabashke plema sotolia. Rishka tamba neamosta. Renashke pelibe rabalatahasa. Labora tana mashandele brahana rabash. Lebratoske pelibe rabalate posma soda. Rushka bania masada. Rabalashke anashe pole ro. Erete sibaliada. Parata ashke pane. Rashke pane shil rabala. Fleshke toshe porob. Latasiaba. Marashke tane. Amroshke poshe.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadee by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.